It's the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, celebrating Cubs culture all week long here on 720 WGN as the Cubs come back to Wrigley Field tomorrow night for the, for the first World Series game at Wrigley Field since 1945. That's a pretty impressive, I don't know, there's a lot of emotion involved in that. And one guy in studio with us now, a diehard Cubs fan who has a little experience with Wrigley Field as a bat boy in 1952 and 1953, which breaks the rules. You know him from all those years you invited him into your living room. Now he works here at WGN. Walter Jacobson, great to see you. Thanks for coming in, man.
Oh, and thanks for inviting me. And, you know, it's a scary time for people like me who've been around the Cubs all of our lives. You know, I'm going on 80 years old. I've been a Cub fan since literally 1945 when I was listening to the Cubs play the Tigers in the World Series, and I've never let it go. You can't let it go. And if you're into it that deep, when they go to Cleveland and lose that first game 6-0 or whatever it was, you think, oh, my God, it's over. I can't listen to it.
I turn off.
And I have absolutely, I'll tell you, Justin, no interest at all in going to Wrigley Field.
Really?
To sit there Saturday or Sunday.
Why not?
And squirm and worry and sweat and be afraid. Much better at home, so if things are happening that are not very comfortable for me, I could turn it off, or I can go away for a while and come back.
Well, you know, it's always been, I've always known this story. I've known that Walter Jacobson was a bat boy for the Chicago Cubs. It's almost like the lead in your bio. Right. But I've never really talked to you about it, and I don't know much about it. And we were thinking about, you know, the week of the World Series week here on the download, and that came to our mind saying, you know, we should talk to Walter about his story. This 1952. Talk about how do you become a bat boy for the Chicago Cubs?
It's an interesting story, really. You've never been a bat boy?
No, I'm not.
Have any interest in being
a
bat boy?
I haven't, no. I mean, sure, when I was a kid, yeah. Not now.
I was a kid. I just one day wrote a letter to P.K. Wrigley. I'll go back a little bit before that. My mother was a diehard, horrendous, loyal Cub fan. And we had a small apartment, my dad, my mom, and me and a younger brother. And my mother would be listening to the games, and I kind of got acclimated to her fandom. And when the Cubs were playing the Tigers and getting licked, she was sad, so I was sad. But I got hooked. And the next year, the next season, I used to take the elevated from Devon Avenue to Addison Street. I was only 9 years old, and I must have gone to 50 Cub games during the summer. And I would talk my way by the Andy Frayne ushers or jump over the stiles.
The turnstiles,
and get in,
right, or get in after
the
seventh inning. That was a thing, right.
Yeah, going just kind of bananas over the Cubs. And one day I wrote a letter to P.K. Wrigley out of the blue. I don't even know why. I just wanted so much to be a bat boy. I wrote him a letter and telling him how loyal I was and could I please one day maybe have a chance at being a bat boy. He had his public relations department write me back right away, actually, and say thank you for your loyalty. And we'd love to have you come and see us sometimes, but we already have our bat boy for this season. So I waited till the next season, and I wrote again. Then I got a letter from the public relations department saying, come down and talk to us. So my dad had to drive me down to Wrigley Field. I was only 13 years old. I certainly couldn't drive the car myself, and he didn't want anything to do with it because he thought, I mean, come on, this is Walter just being Walter, and there's nothing we can do about it. The chances of being a bat boy are just absolutely remote. So he parked out on Sheffield Avenue, and I went in shaking to see the guy who's in charge of hiring bat boys. And I went into his office and sat for 20 minutes, and he was asking me these crazy questions like, where do you go to school? How would you get out of school in order to come and be a bat boy during the season, and what are your grades? And then he asked me, how tall are you, and how much do you weigh? And I'm thinking, Justin, my God, I'm thinking, could he be thinking about a uniform for me? I didn't say that, but I just gave him the information. He said, thank you, very nice to meet you. We shook hands, and I left. My dad was out in front. This was about a half hour, 45 minutes later, and I got in the car, and he said, what happened? And I said, oh, Dad, my God, it was really exciting. I mean, I thought that they were going to think really about maybe giving me that job or letting me come and hang out in the clubhouse. And they asked me, when I told them, they asked me my size and my height and my age and my weight. He said, you know, maybe
there's something
are.
To it. Yeah.
That was in about October of 1951. And I didn't hear anything. I used to get up every morning and turn on the radio and wait all morning. And I'd go to bed at night and say my prayers. I will be good if only they would call me and give me the job. And they never did. And I waited and I waited. And then it got to be after winter in January or February. Still no call. And one day, I used to listen to Bert Wilson and Cubs News. I forgot now what WYND, I think the station was. I don't really remember. Anyway, when I turned it on one night after dinner, and I heard Upson has been named as the new Cubs bat boy for the 1952 season.
They do not. They say the bat boy in the radio news?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that was great.
Well, there was the Cubs news and everything about the Cubs.
Oh, it was Cubs. Okay.
And
That must have been devastating.
Oh, crushed. Absolutely crushed. And in tears, I went to my mom and dad in the dining room and said, well, you don't have to worry about it. It's over. And so they gave me some empathy. And then all of a sudden, Justin, the phone started to ring and ring and ring. And people telling me that they just heard on the radio that I was a new Cubs bat boy.
What?
Because I had heard Upson and I didn't hear Jacob. So it was just Upson. So I said, my mother now was getting upset because what if this was true? And she called Wrigley Field the next morning. I don't know to whom she spoke, but she said that her son has been named as bat boy, thinks he's been named as bat boy for the Cubs. Is that true? And they told her, whoever it was
indeed.
Who answered the phone, yes, it is Walter.
Wow.
So,
Walter, I have to...
Yeah, take a break.
We'll take a break because
I
need to call... No. I need to call all the other guests that are on the show tonight and bump them because we're doing 4 hours of you talking about the 1952 season. This is riveting. Walter Jacobson, my guest tonight, talking about his fame story of being a Cubs bat boy in the 1952 season. When we come back, let's talk about what it was like. What it was like being in the dugout. What was being around baseball in the 50s. I mean, I can't even imagine some of the things that were said and done in the 50s that you can't.
You got it. Good and bad.
Good and bad. Walter Jacobson, my guest on the download. Stay with us.
When the day comes for that last winning run and I'm crying and covered in beer. I look to the sky and know I was right to think someday we'll go all the way.
It's 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're celebrating Cubs culture this week of the World Series. Walter Jacobson in studio talking about his great story, his famed story of being a bat boy for the 1952 Chicago Cubs. So you get the call. You're now a bat boy. Talk about that experience. Yeah. Talk about getting in there, wearing the uniform and the players. And I was thinking in my head, I'm like, geez, early 50s. What is that? Willie Mays? Stan Musial?
Warren Spahn?
Jackie Robinson?
Roy Campanella?
So talk about the experience.
Well, let me tell you first. Let me set the scene for you first. My family moved from Rogers Park to Glencoe when I was a preteen. So when I got this job, I had to get from New Trier High School, where I was a freshman, down to Wrigley
Field. That's a long commute.
Yeah. And I had to get there, first of all, while school was still on in the spring. So I had to figure out a way, get my parents to help me go to New Trier and say, look, will you let my son miss his classes in the afternoon? He's got this job as a bat boy. And the school was reluctant but willing, which is understandable. It was kind of cool for them to have a bat boy in their of their classes. So I used to get on the North Shore train at 8 o'clock in the morning during the summer. Parenthetically, in the spring, I would finish my classwork at about 9 or 10 and then get on the train and go down. And the first thing I had to do when I got down there is take the trunk in the ramp to the dugout from the clubhouse and unload about 50 bats and put them in the bat rack.
You were the bat boy, after all.
That's right. Put them in, and wait for them to start their batting practice. That, after it was started, was my heaven, because I could go into the outfield and play catch with these guys who kind of took me on as a mascot. We'd play catch and we'd talk and I'd shag fly balls and I made friends. You won't remember any of the names, but I can just tell you this, that some of them were so nice. Roy Smalley, does that name ring a bell? He was a shortstop. He was traded to make room for Ernie Banks, who came 2 years later. He just couldn't get the job done. He would throw the ball into a double play and drop it before he could get rid of it. The Cubs had in history Tinker to Evers to Chance.
Right, of
You've heard that?
Yeah, of course.
They were a famous double play combination. The media in Chicago created Smalley, to Mixus or Mixus to the shortstop Smalley to the grandstand because Roy Smalley would throw away. And I used to cry because I felt so bad for him. He'd put his arm around me and say, you know, Wally, don't worry about it. I'll make it up tomorrow, which he didn't. So there were some guys that I really loved, like Roy Smalley. Some guys were very difficult. You know, those were the days. You've seen the movies, right, about Jackie Robinson and stuff.
I was going to say, just the quote-unquote locker room talk in 1952 must have been something.
Not quite as bad as Donald Trump's, but there was locker room talk, and there was dugout screaming, and they used to throw epithets at the black guys. It was Jackie Robinson and a few others by then. The Dodgers won the pennant that year, and the Yankees beat them in the World Series, but they had several black guys, Roy Campanella and Jackie Robinson. And the Cub players, those were the ones I knew best, and I'm sure they weren't the only ones. I found out the following year when I was visiting Bat Boy that they were not the only ones, used to throw out racist remarks. It was just
it was a different time,
awful.
Right?
Yeah, and you know, those were the days when spitting tobacco was something everybody was doing, so there was tobacco all over the dugout. They really kind of hicks.
And that, I mean, talk about, I mean, it was, you know, for you as a bat boy, I mean, were they like, hey, Wally, give me this, give me that? Was it, we did this kind of like almost boss you around? And like, what was he? I mean, you said you had good experiences, but you also, some of them weren't so good.
Well, there wasn't too much bossing around they could do because I was always on the run, and they were kind of kind to me because I wasn't a show off like I think
those other bat boys
Baez is now. And Wilson Contreras. Why don't those guys just cool it and play the game instead of run around looking for fame and fortune? I got annoyed at them the other night. Anyway, they weren't the worst they did to me personally was razz me a little bit and spit tobacco at me and force tobacco in my mouth so I would chew it. Not awful.
I know. But let me ask you, I mean, it's interesting because you're telling me, you know, I mean, it's a different time. I mean, there's a lot of mopping. It was a little laundry. There are things that, I mean, as you got more and more comfortable in the dugout, I mean, you could do a lot of things with the Cubs. I mean, you kind of were talking about the idea of signing baseballs.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a responsibility. My responsibility was to keep the bats in order. My responsibility when the game was over was to get up to the clubhouse in a hurry, pick up all their dirty sweatshirts and underwear and put them in the washing machine and then mop the floor while they were showering. And then I would first sweep it, then mop it. Then when the clothes dried, I'd take them out and put them in their lockers. And I would swab out the urinals and the toilets and the sinks.
So glamorous.
Yeah, it was really glamorous.
1952
and
glamorous.
You know what I was paid?
What?
$2.50 a day. You know what it cost me? $2.75 to get there from Glencoe, where I got the North Shore train.
Man.
And then I wouldn't get out of there until like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. There were no night games at that
point.
Yeah,
right, of course. Yeah. All right, to the balls. He's signing balls, baseballs.
Oh,
so you know, as much as you like to, it's the great American bat boy. You also had a little bad boy streak.
Little bad boy, yeah.
Tell us about this.
Bat boy, bad boy. You know, I was just so fanatical a Cub fan. That was the next year. You have to know how I happened to, when I was in the Cubs dugout in the clubhouse, one of my jobs was to go downstairs to the shop and pick up bags of baseballs that the Cubs signed. And then the balls were put back in the boxes, and I would take them back downstairs, and they were sold. And I had to take a ball and go around to all the players. And if I didn't get all the balls signed, you know, I was kind of reprimanded. So I spent a lot of time practicing their signatures. So if I had, and I could still do them, if I couldn't get Hank Sauer to sign a ball because he was too busy, too much of a big shot.
You had to do it.
I did it.
There's someone right now who's listening. Is like, oh, my Hank Sauer ball.
Right.
Wally.
That's right. I'm afraid that I might get prosecuted for hopefully the statute of limitations.
Nah, this is off the record.
But I didn't do a lot. This is off the record.
Yeah, it's off the record.
I didn't do much of it.
No.
But I did do it now and then.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is you actually, you know, to be a bat boy at Wrigley Field, you get one summer. It's not something that you stick around for 5 years. But you found a loophole. You were able to do two summers by switching dugouts. Talk about this.
Wrigley had a policy because so many kids wanted to be bat boys. that the Cubs would hire one bat boy for one season, and that would be it. And I was told that after the season, it was over. Parenthetically, that was like Bill Curtis and I going back to WBBM a couple of years ago,
right.
Having been told, okay, we want you to come back just for a little old time's sake.
Right.
And then we were doing okay at 5 o'clock at night together. This was, what, 5 years ago?
Right.
And the ratings weren't too bad, and we wanted to stay because we were having a good time. And they said, we told you 2 years, and that's it. Anyway, so the Cubs had a policy. I was so good at my work, Justin, because of how much I loved doing it, that I just couldn't take no for an answer. And I begged, and I cajoled, and I promised I'd do whatever they wanted if they'd let me stay another year. They couldn't do it. But because you do a pretty good job at what you're doing, Walter, we'll send you over to the visiting side, and you can be bat boy, please, for all the teams that come in.
So they get a bat boy for Wrigley as well.
Oh, yeah, all the travel.
Yeah,
not many teams, but now they don't do it at all, bring in their own bat boys. But and they weren't even doing it very much in those days. And I was reluctant because of how much of a Cub fan I was, but it was in Wrigley Field, and the visiting teams were so good. I mean, they were really great.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest players
of
all time.
The glory days of baseball, yeah.
Yeah. So I went over there. The first problem was having to fit into uniforms that were three times my size that the teams brought with them. And then I had to be careful not to...
be too Cub.
Right.
Right?
But I...
was that hard for you as a kid? I mean,
yeah.
Well,
you kind of
mentioned to me that you were even helping the team in some ways.
I was smart enough to at least control my emotions and do my little things on the side. Like, I'd sit in the... I don't know if I had to admit this. I'd sit in the dugout and listen to the other team's coaches talking to the players about the signals. And then I'd get up, wander around the dugout. And I was 16, remember? Okay. And then I would kind of leave the ramp and go over to the Cubs and tell the Cubs I knew what the signals were. I don't know if it made much difference, but I got caught a couple times. One time, it was really bad, actually. Russ Meyer was a hothead. He played on the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he... saw me
doing
listening.
It,
yeah. And he took a bat out of the rack. These guys are, you know, they're roughnecks, right? Took a bat out of the rack and swung it with all his might at my head. And it hit, luckily, or not so luckily, hit the cement post holding up the dugout and broke in two. If the post hadn't been there, it would have hit me in the head. So they're really into this, and they were angry.
Wow.
And the Rogers Hornsby, remember that name?
Of course.
He was manager of the Cincinnati Reds, and he got a notion that I was listening. And he sent me out to the bullpen and made me stay out there. You know, the bat boy usually sits in the dugout,
right,
and grabs the bat and goes up to home plate. He made me sit out in the bullpen and said, if I ever catch you listening to anything again, you'll be fired. And I probably should have been fired right then and there. And you know what?
This is great.
Bottom line, it didn't make the Cubs win the pennant.
Almost, right? Walter Jacobson, my guest tonight. You can stick around. You want to stick around?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, stick around. We got a great show tonight celebrating Cubs culture. I wouldn't mind if Walter Jacobson rode shotgun tonight on the download. It's kind of great. I mean, that was an amazing story talking about your time in 1952 and 1953 as a bat boy for the Chicago Cubs. Walter Jacobson here on the download. Thanks for